So I mentioned just a moment ago, we are privileged to welcome a special guest preacher this morning to share the word with us. Today we have Chaplain Larry Gardner, Pastor Larry Gardner, whichever title you most like, sharing the word. Some of you know him well. If you don't, here's a little bit of his story. Chaplain Gardner is an associate pastor at Bethel Bible Fellowship, so our sister church just a few blocks away there in Carrollton, part of our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church. And he's been pastor there for quite a few years and a blessing to them. But in addition to being a pastor there at the church, he's a chaplain. For a long time, he was a prison chaplain and serving the needs of those inmates in prison, their spiritual needs. Now he's transitioned to being a chaplain for those who are paroled and out of prison and helping an important ministry, helping so many of those that have just gotten out transition to life outside and hopefully keeping up on some of the commitments that they have made in prison and following the Lord and seeking his help where they need it. So it's a privilege to have him. Even before he did those things, he was a pastor. You were in Palestine, right? For Palestine, Texas, pastor there for a long time. So it's great to have that connection. And then this is unofficial connection, but your wife knows more Redeemer members than I do, I think, at this point. She has made several connections to folks, and so it's great to have her as well, and we welcome you, ma'am, and we're glad to have those connections as well. So we know the Gardner family, we're blessed by them, and we want to turn the pulpit over to you. So Chaplain Gardner, we welcome you this morning, and we thank you for sharing the word.
God bless you.
Appreciate you.
Amen. He warned me before I got here that there is a ghetto stand, and I like that terminology. He said, ghetto stand, you start preaching, and as you're preaching, it just kind of goes away. I told him, I said, yeah, the Disappearing Bible Act, and what that means is that it's time for you to sit down. So glad to be here. Brother Mark, God bless you so much, and thank you for the privilege of coming and sharing with you, and I pray that God will give us something that will help us as we gather here today, and then as we leave this place to become better children of God in this life in which we live. Amen. That ought to be our ultimate goal. And if I'm not going to become a better child, I need to at least become his child. Then I can work on being a better child. But praying that God will speak today. Thank God for my wife. She sneaked in on us. I didn't see her. She just blended right in. She's always here at your church anyway. So she just kind of blended right in. She has a good time here. And I thank God for her and for her support and ministry and all that she does. Thank God for you being here. And I know that anybody that stayed away, they didn't stay away because they heard I was coming. See, the secret's out, Brother Mark. You didn't put it out there, so you did a good job. Thank you for that. Boy, there is one, though. Where's Nick? Nick's here somewhere. Nick knew I was coming. I don't know if he spread the word or not, but somehow he knew I was coming. He happened to come by Bethel every now and then. He says, oh, so you're the guest preacher. So he's got the inside scoop, amen? Amen. All right, open your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter number 17, very familiar passage, and we pray that share that word that God will speak mightily to our hearts. Amen. John chapter 17. I like to do something traditional because I love God and I think he's worth honoring. Would you stand with me for a minute as we read his word? I like to do that if you're able to stand. John chapter 17, verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Pray with me, please. Father, we bless you. Praise you, God, for who you are. We praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your people, for the praise team, God, for Pastor Mark, for this, your church, O God, Redeemer. We thank you, Lord. And we say, Lord, have your way today. We invite your Holy Spirit, come and just move as only you can move. Not my words, but let your words go forth, O God. Lord, you move and hide me, O God, that people will not see me nor focus on me, nor worry about evaluating me, but they'll receive a word from God. And as we stand, we can't help but remember our brothers and sisters who are dealing, Lord God, with so much lost down in the Houston area. Father, continue to, Lord, lift them up, encourage them, and move them to a place, O God, that they don't know you, Lord, that they'll know you better than ever before. That those that know you, Lord, that they'll draw closer to you. And even, God, in times like these, all kinds of things going on, earthquakes and hurricanes, and we're not exactly sure all that you're saying. But we're certain that you're speaking. We hear you say that you're sovereign. We hear you say that you're coming back one day. And we hear you say that you love us and that you, Lord God, are calling us to you. Now, God, move as only you can and have your way today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for you. Thank God for his word. And we pray that God will say something that will help us today. For a little bit, I want to talk about the pursuit and the purpose of perfection. You know, in this life, we have a tendency to purchase fine things, and we don't do that. We don't go buy fine homes just for the sake of buying fine homes, and we don't purchase fine automobiles just for the sake of purchasing fine automobiles. A lot of people purchase fine clothes, and they don't do that just so that they'll have something to wear. Different people buy the finer things in life for different reasons, and I guess that's all okay, but one thing for sure is that people buy them because they like fine things, and there's perfectly nothing wrong with that. I like fine things. I like fine things myself. But all I do know is that the one thing that so often happens is that we buy these fine homes, but we don't invite folk come move in our fine homes. We don't invite people to take my fine car and just drive off anytime you get ready. No, that's not why we do it. We don't tell them to come to our house and open up the closet and just have your way and get anything you want, wear whatever you want to wear. It's all good stuff, and this is our fine stuff, and it's okay to have fine stuff. It's okay to strive for perfection in my home, to strive for perfection in my dress, to strive for perfection in everything that I do. That's all good. But one thing I do know is that it's okay with that stuff that we don't show it off like sometimes we want to do. But the one thing I want us to understand is that the church has oftentimes not displayed the thing that God wants us to display the most. Things that we have been given charge of, something that we have been assigned to that speaks to the world, that invites the world and says, we want you. We want you to be a part of us. We want you to come and hang out with us. And in this text today, John talks to us about the greatest way that we can invite other folk into the house of God. There was, once upon a time, there's a young lady by the name of Charlie Haversat. She was vice president for an investment firm. She also ran for a political office, and she lost that election. And then she was a professional athlete, and she spoke one time on our society's obsession with perfection. She talked about how obsessed people are with perfection. And here I go today. I said I want to talk about the pursuit and the purpose of perfection. Kind of twist your mind a little bit, huh? You say we're obsessed with it. Why should we do that? Why should we be striving to be perfectionists? She spoke about our society and some folk so obsessed with it that she called it the Nirvana fallacy. One guy by the name of Voltaire, he said, perfectionism is the enemy of good. That's what he said about it. People do say that perfection is not only possible, it's not only possible, but it's probable. Perfectionism. People strive for perfection, and when they fail to meet that, a lot of people in their lives, they become disappointed, they become discouraged. But she states something. She says this, Haversat. She said the obsession with perfection has resulted in the loss of the ability to negotiate incremental gains or the ability to compromise. Many people are so intent on winning You know, it's everybody win. Everybody gets a trophy. Many people are so intent on winning that they have a dangerous disregard for the consequences that might take place. And while perfection, it's attainable in some areas of our lives, and that's a good thing. It's good that we can hit those perfect marks in some areas. We got to realize that in this life, for us to live a perfect life, it's an unattainable thing. You all say amen right there, unless you're one of those. It's an unattainable thing for us, but yet in this prayer today, Jesus has the audacity to talk about perfection. And in what he's writing in this high priestly prayer, he wants us to understand something. He wants us to know that there is a perfection that he wants us to attain, and that is this perfection of being complete. That is this becoming one. He says down in verse 23 that he wants us to be perfect in one. In his prayer, Jesus walked this earth, and those that were with him, Jesus opens up. He's praying in verse 20. He's praying for his disciples that have walked in him. And my first point is that anybody that is in Christ Jesus in pursuit of perfection, anybody that belongs to him, you are his possession. People struggle to become somebody's servant. We struggle to be somebody's slave. But if Jesus is my Lord and Savior, what good hands to be in. I am his possession, and I love it that I'm his possession. I am his, and he is mine. I don't mind being a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for those that were presently with him, but he also prayed for those that would one day come, which that means you and you and you and me. And he prayed boldly, and he prayed with earnestness, because Jesus could pray that the word that these disciples were going to be sharing was going to be effective. He knew as he prayed that there would be people that would come. Many have come, and there's still plenty more room for many more to come. As Jesus prayed, he prayed for the disciples, for those that were present with him. He prayed for those that would be coming down the road. He prayed for those of us that are here right now. Jesus prayed this mighty prayer, and he could pray boldly, knowing that you and I would come, knowing that others would come. How could he do it? Because Jesus had a relationship with his Father. And he prayed over in John chapter 11. He said, I'm praying this prayer, Lord, because I for the folks that are standing around me. I know that you hear me. I know that you always hear me. So I'm not saying this out loud just for me. No, it's not for me. It's but for those around me, that they might know that you always hear and that you always answer me. Now I don't know about you. It's nice to have folk praying for you, Brother Mark. Folk tell you, I'm praying for you. That's a good thing. It's even nicer when they pray and you hear them call your name. My wife prays for me all the time. I believe that. I believe that. And I pray for her all the time. But we don't always pray together. But when we do, and anytime she called my name, let me tell you, it's a good thing. But when she's praying and talking to the Lord and lifting up my name to the Lord, let me tell you, that's a special time. Now, especially she, as there was a lady in my life that was more special, and that was my mom. My mom prayed for me. I know she prayed for me. I'd walk by her bedroom at night, and out of those 12 kids, I know I was one of them that she called up to the Lord. How do I know? Because I was lost and sinking in sin, and one day she prayed me in. I thank God for that. When I called mama and told her all about my encounter with the Lord, she said, I know. I'm serious. I'm in Shreveport, Louisiana. I had an encounter with the Lord. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. And I'm all excited, and I wanted her to know that I had turned from the way I was. Y'all hadn't been there before. I know you've always been in church, but I was excited, okay? And I called my mama, and I just couldn't wait to give her this good news. And she just stuck a needle, a pin in my bubble. She said, I already know. And I found out later as I walked this Christian walk that she knew, because she'd been talking to the Lord. And every now and then, he'll give you an answer to prayer before you get off your knees. I've had that happen at one time in my life, that I've gotten up knowing that everything was going to be all right. So it was wonderful to know that mama was praying for me. It's wonderful to know that my wife prayed, but to know that Jesus, our Savior, is praying for us. That excites me. That moves me. That encourages me. That lets me know that through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. He prayed for the disciples that were with him then, and we are his, and guess what? As his possession, he's praying for us. I know he prayed for us, because if he hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be sitting in the house of God today if he had not been praying for us. We may not be here this morning if he wasn't praying for us now. He is our intercessor. He's the one that's there between us and God. And thank God that Jesus prayed. Jesus says, look, understand that they're coming, and they're going to come through the word of God. And while Jesus is our true object of faith, we come through the hearing of the word. The book says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so with that same word, with that gospel, with that good news, is what brought us today. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. God has given us his word, and God has left you and I to proclaim that same word. For some, he said in Ephesians, there are some that's apostles, some are prophets, some are teachers, and, you know, some are pastors, some are evangelists. God has left us with that same word. That same word that we're to take and put out, just like his apostles put out, just like the disciples put out, we are to distribute that word. We don't know who's coming. We don't know who's not coming. That's not our call. Our job is to just distribute that word. And so as his possession, he says, whatever you do, as you move toward where I want you to be, share the word of God. You need not be disappointed when you share and folk don't come. It's okay for it to disappoint you a little bit, but don't get discouraged and not continue to reach out and to share. Because you remember in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Y'all know that, where the sower, the farmer went out and he started casting seed on the ground, and some of the seed, it just fell by the wayside, and some of it fell on some stony ground, and then some of it fell in some thorny ground, and then some of it fell in some good ground. All he wants us to do is just share and sow that word of God. And as we move toward becoming what God wants us to become, as we move toward being that one, sharing that gospel, being consistent in the gospel presentation, guess what? God has a way of taking care of the increase. God called us. God called us. Jesus and God are one. They are one. They are one in nature. And guess what? God wants us to be one as he has called us to be. Jesus said, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and I are together. We're one. The same Spirit, he wants us. Jesus, that just like Jesus and the Father, we're not divine, but just like they're one, he wants us to be one in our love, one in our labor, one in our life-giving, one in all that we do. That same Spirit is what the world needs to see. Now, I understand, and I appreciate all the differences that all of us as people have. That's a wonderful thing. God didn't make any two of us alike. That is an awesome thing. But the one thing that we need to realize is that we all are, should be striving for, as his children, as his possession, we ought to all be striving for the same goal. One of the worst things that happens is that Christians have the tendency to want to compete against one another. Churches want to compete against one another. Look, don't ever worry about somebody else's gift. Because if you are a possession of Jesus Christ, you have a gift too. Don't ever worry about what someone else's talent is, because as a possession of Jesus Christ, you've got talent too. And the same Holy Ghost that fills them fills you. The same Holy Ghost that empowers them powers you. So we don't ever have to worry about being in competition. And all of us, saints of God, we have plenty of clients, plenty of potential people. The world is full of lost folk. We don't have to compete for folk. The world is full of lost folk. All we need to do is make sure we share that same word. What God wants us to do is to help us realize that we are all striving for that same goal. Jesus said, I pray for not these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The thing people don't need to see, they don't need to see selfishness. They don't need to see unforgiveness. They don't need to see a lack of compassion. They don't need to see bickering and fighting and all kinds of indifferences. No, no, no. What people need to see, those that don't know, they need to see us united as one in Christ Jesus. And you know what's wonderful? We're united whether we realize it or not. If you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, we're one. Oh, yeah, it may not play out the way it should, but if we're in Christ, the same blood that saved me saved you. The same blood that covers you covers her. The same blood is what makes us all one in Christ Jesus. We just need to make sure that we're in pursuit of fulfilling what God has called us to do. Sometimes people seem to show the world some stuff that they don't need to see. You know, people have been hurt in the church. People have been damaged in the church. People have left the church, quote unquote, because of these injuries that have happened in their lives. But I want us to know that the thing we want to do is strive to become those people that's displaying what God wants us to show. Sin is a major hindrance whenever it comes to being one. It is that element of discord that all hindrances will one day be overcome because Jesus prayed it. It'd be nice if we all had achieved that perfection already, but we're not quite there yet. We are a work in progress. One guy said the other day, he said, "Yeah, I don't like to use that. I'm a work in progress." I said, "I don't know about you, but I like to use it. I hope that I'm still a work in progress. I hope he hadn't stopped working on me. I know I haven't arrived, so I hope, Brother Mark, he's still working on me." And that oneness that Jesus prayed for, it's going to come to fruition. His prayers get answered. And so one day it's going to happen. It may not be on this side, but one day it is going to happen. But the same thing that folks see in Jesus Christ, guess what? It needs to be seen in us. Him in us and us in him. You know, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Guess what? We're all one in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians, endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what God calls us to. There is one body, there is one Spirit, and even as we are called, one hope of our calling. Paul goes on to write in Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, and one who is above all and through all and in you all. God has called us and God has commissioned us to be one. It's okay for us to look different, to walk different, to act different. But I think about a football team, and of course I played on a football team, and so I've experienced it myself. I had a man that was a good athlete, and I mean he was notches above a lot of his team members. And of course the school, what they did every week, they gave a lineman of the week or an offensive player of the week. And this guy, he was in the paper every single week. I mean, it was without fail every single week he was in the paper. Now, they're all on the same football team. They're all striving to achieve the same goal. But you better bet there were some folk that were struggling a little bit with that. You pick up your little paper that's about 8 or 10 pages back then. Y'all don't even know what papers are now, some of you young folk. There's some of y'all that can relate to me. But he'd pick up that paper, and every week they'd see it. And there was a couple of those guys I know were envious because I understand he could see it on their faces. But in spite of that, every one of them, the linemen did what they should do. The running backs did what they should do. The quarterbacks did what they all pulled together and ended up 9-1 in their last year of football. There may have been a little struggle. There may have been a little strife. There may have been some differences, but they stayed focused on what their goal was, and they accomplished a mighty great year. They didn't win the state championship, but they did accomplish some great things. Why? Because they stayed focused in spite of all the differences that's going on. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our job is all the same when it comes to our God. For the true believer, Jesus is his all. For the true believer, Jesus is his all. For the true believer, Jesus is his all. And in my heart, he's the king of my love. He is my conscience. He is the prince of peace in the true believer's life. He is the Lord of our life in a true believer's life. He's the captain of our salvation. He is our hope of glory if we're really his possession. I in him and him in me. Why be one, preacher? We're his possession. Why focus on becoming? What's so important about becoming one? What's so important about achieving this perfection? I'm glad you asked. That's a good question. Because God loves the world, and God wants the world to believe that he sent Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 21, he says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, O King James, thou hast sent me, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's why he wants us to be one, because we're the one to represent him. We're the one that's moving forward to help the world see that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of this world, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. I didn't make that up myself. Paul says, neither is there salvation under any other name, no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved. That's what he says over in the books of that book of Acts. The way people will see Jesus is through us believers. The way people will see Jesus Christ, the way they'll get to God, is that they will see it played out in our lives. God's great purpose and God's great for the destruction of discord and for the restoration of true harmony is holy brotherhood in Christ Jesus. We have to make sure everything is gender specific now. Holy sisterhood in Christ Jesus. I don't want to leave anybody out. Amen. That's how we overcome all this discord that's going on around us. Christ is the center and Christ is the head of man. Whether he owns him and claims him or not, Christ is the center. And by this, God will reconcile folk to himself. And so we are God's possession because we are in him and he is in us. But he, while he has us as he is, he's equipped us to do what needs to be done. He's left us with some awesome power. The Bible says that, and the glory which thou gave us me in verse 22, he said, I've given them that they may be one even as we are one. This glory that God gave his son, he said, I'm giving them so that they can be one. God has equipped us so that we can demonstrate that we are one. Yes, he wouldn't call us to do anything that he wouldn't equip us for, would he? He's not that kind of God. He's not that mean taskmaster. He has equipped us. God has given us glory. Just like he gave glory to his son, Jesus Christ, he has given us an opportunity for glory as well. Now, it's not the exact same as what Jesus had. We're not divine. We're not God. All right. I know some of us might think we are, but we're not God. But guess what? God has charged us, challenged us, and given us something great to play out our part in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? He's given us his word. You know, I have a friend that I talked to, pastor friend down in Miami now, praying hard for him as he gets ready to face this storm. But we talk quite frequently. And one of the things that we talk about are a lot of the challenges that we run into in the church. And we talk about what some of the greatest challenges are and what as we talk, what might the solution be? You know what he said? He said, Pastor, I got one thing. I got one thing to give. I give him the word. God left us a book, and in that book there's instructions. And in that book, let me tell you, if every other book on this earth disappeared, all of technology was gone, as long as we had a word, guess what? Folk can still be saved. And so God told his disciples then, that word that you share, it's going to bring people to Christ. That same word that he gave them, he gave to us. And with that, we can show people the love of Jesus Christ by walking out what's in that word. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the Son of God. You remember Jesus says, glorify me, Father. Father said, I have glorified you. Now I'm going to glorify you more as he's headed toward the cross. Jesus glorified God because Jesus was God. Jesus connected to God, and Jesus did exactly what God wanted him to do. He always gave God glory. Jesus always heard God. Jesus was always in communion with God, and therefore he always glorified God. It's glorious. The gospel that we have is a glorious gospel. The gospel that we have is sound in its doctrine. And so we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we have also this glory that gets put on us. You see, it's not us that people really need to see. It's the Christ in us that glorifies God. It's the Christ in us that causes me to love those that other folk hate. It's the Christ in me that causes me to help when I don't feel like helping. But then that's when God gets the glory, because you know in your own strength there's certain things you don't want to do and would not do. I know in my life, I can't tell you what goes on in yours, but in my life, I find myself sometimes doing things I don't want to do. Why? Because I'm the possession of God Almighty. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, look, if you don't hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, if you don't love me more than you love these, you can't be my disciple. That's some hard stuff, isn't it? He wasn't telling us to hate them like we talk about hate, but he said, look, for me to identify you as mine, to hang my sign around your neck, you've got to put me above anything, everything, and everybody else. And then they'll know that you're mine because of what you're willing to do. That gives him great glory, because what we're willing to do, we're imitating him. He said, be ye imitators in Ephesians, imitators of God. Imitate him in all that we do, so that the world can see something about us and say there's something about them people that is different. The glory of God shows up when you reach out to help your enemy. The glory of God shows up when you forgive a person that has wronged you. The glory of God shows up when you give and you know that they may take what you've given them and misuse what you've given them. The glory of God shows up, and that's where people begin to see that there's something different about those individuals. There's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. Why? Because the glory of God shows up. It's amazing what happens when we yield and when we humble ourselves and we allow God to really take over. When we allow God to work in our lives to do things that people can look at us and say, no way would he ever done that. No way would she have ever done that without God Almighty. God then gets the glory. And when people see God, there's something about them. It creates a hunger. It creates a thirst. God has left us his word. God has left us his glory. You know, he said, look, understand something. If the world hated me, they're going to hate you. But that's okay. Let them hate you. Keep doing what's right anyway. Keep showing what's right anyway. God left us that powerful word to instruct us, to guide us, to teach us. Why? So we could be one, just like Jesus and the Father are one. And he wants us to do all that. Why? Because there's some other prospects out there. We are the possession of God. God has given us great power, but then there's some prospects out there. There's some folk that God's looking to save. That's some folk that God wants us to talk to. This growing oneness of discipleship, it would be to the world, it would be an evidence of Christian triumph, and then the triumph of Christians. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What am I saying? All I'm saying is when we do right, the world will know. Verse 23, look at what it says. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Saints of God, we're not to be common men, common women, common boys, or common girls. It's easy to be part of society. We know that. Anybody can fit in. But to be different, to be uncommon, is something special. When we look at Jesus Christ, Jesus, his life ran parallel with God. He said what the Father said. He did what the Father told him to do. I don't understand how folk can read the life of Jesus Christ and not see God. But there's folk that read that life all the time and still haven't gotten a good glimpse of God Almighty. They read that word sometime, and some of them that have read that word, they still call him a good man. And he is that. They read that word and they call him one of the prophets. And yes, he was that too. They read that word and they call him a good example. And yeah, he was that too. But Jesus said it this way, I in you and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one. early in the verse, in verse 21, he says, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Down in verse 23, he says, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Up here, we're going to just believe, and we're going to know, we're going to acquiesce. We know that you're the Son of God. We believe that you exist, but I don't really know you yet. But now that the church is doing what it should be doing, you as my disciple, you're starting to let them experience this love from God Almighty. So they don't just believe about this guy that's in the book. All of a sudden now they're experiencing him, and that's the difference. And that's where a lot of our churches struggle today. They have a lot of folk that believe Jesus is the Son of God, and that's what it takes to be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God is raised him from the dead, Romans 10:8-10, thou shalt be saved. But so many have failed to experience him, encounter him, and have that relationship with him that transforms their life the way it should be. And so we kind of, if we're not careful, we take that thing too lightly on believing who Jesus Christ really is. God said, Jesus says, I in you, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. People can read this book, look at this book, and still not know who God is. But what he wants us to understand is that once you come to know him, you ought to be one that displays all that he wants you to be. One that's striving for the perfection that God wants us to all be united. Now understand, unity is not uniformity. We're never going to all be the same in all we do. But we ought to all be striving for the same goal. And when I read this book and he's given me this good gospel, he's given me the instructions, some things sometimes it's not so easy for me to do. I'm able to do it, and what does it do? It brings glory to God Almighty. He said, I want you to become perfect. I want you to become one. And I don't know about you, but I've learned who he is. I grew up in church, and I grew up in Sunday school, and I didn't quite know what it meant to have that relationship with him. Some of you may have experienced that same thing. It was just kind of go to church because mama made you go. Today, kids have options. They don't even have to go to church. If they feel like it, they go. If they don't feel like it, they can sleep in. But when I was growing up, you didn't have an option. You were going to church. You may not have gotten anything out of it, but you were going to church. And I thank God for mama sending me to church. Because it was that foundation that I had that caused me to grow up and learn. I believed early, and then I came to know who he really was. Because I came to know him for myself, like many of you have come to know him for yourself. And you know you're not the person that you used to be. You know Jesus is different for you in your life now because you call him your Savior now, and you call him your Lord of Lords. You call him your King of Kings. You call him the wheel in the middle of a wheel like one of the prophets did. You call him Mary's little baby like somebody else did. Mary's baby, the Son of the Most High God. He's my friend whenever I need a friend. He's my bread whenever I'm hungry. He's water for me whenever I'm thirsty. He is the one that moves me to do what I don't feel like doing, to become that one that's complete in Christ Jesus. It's difficult sometimes to go against the grain, but God, I need to make up my mind that I want to fulfill that perfection in my life. I want to become that one. I don't want to be the one that creates any differences, but I want to walk like you want me to walk. I don't want to be the one that causes discord. I don't want to be the one that's harboring unforgiveness. I don't want to be the one that's sending bad messages to this world in which we live. I didn't come to beat you up. I did come to preach and leave the Holy Ghost, the power, and the room to challenge your hearts today. I have to do what God has called me to do. And I discharge my duty. God, don't let me be a hindrance to anybody on my job. Don't let me be a hindrance to anybody in my school. Don't let me be a hindrance to anybody in my family. But God, let me move in the direction that you want me to move. Do what you want me to do that the world might see you in me. That you, God, might get glory, that you might be glorified, and that I might decrease, that you might increase. This thing that we call Christianity, understand, we don't do it because it's all about us. We do it because it's all about God Almighty. I love it when Jesus said, not my will, but let thine will be done. Satan on the other side, when he was up there, he was, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going. It was all about Satan. But Jesus said, no, no, it's not my will, but let thine will be done. God calls us his possession. God has empowered us. Why? So that people will know that Jesus was sent from God. And so that people can look and say, man, it's something about it. Red and yellow, black and white. Brown, whatever color, they love Jesus because they love one another. You will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. That's what he has given us, the power and the ability to do. And he's given us the responsibility to become in him what he wants us to be. Saints of God, that's where God is taking us. Folk can look and see a transformed life because of what God has done. When you go back home or when you go to your friends, they look at you and they say, God, you sure have changed. You sure have grown. You're sure not the same. You're bringing glory to God. You're moving toward becoming that perfect one. I think God Redeemer has been doing some things already in your own way. I called Brother Mark and told him I wasn't going to make the final night of the reconciliation thing that he was doing. I was out of town, but I thank God for how he's moving in the midst of his people right here. And I thought this would be a timely word because you're moving in a way that God wants you to move. I pray that we're all moving in that direction to demonstrate the oneness. You know, I'm through. I'm fixing to go to my seat. But whenever a person realizes, you know, they hear about this love of God, but whenever they realize this love in their heart, it does something to them. Love can melt the toughest, the biggest, the meanest. I thought one time I was this big old bad arrogant guy, but I won't tell you, nothing like the power of love. I know that's not good grammar, but ain't nothing like the power of love. And we get a chance to show that love, and we get a chance to demonstrate. There's a whole lot of things out there today. There's all kind of religion, there's all kind of stuff, and people get rehabilitated, and that's a good thing. But nothing can transform and nothing can change like Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I prayed for them that they may be one as we are one. He prayed for us that we may be one. Us in him and he in us. Why? So that the world can see who it is that makes a difference. They can go try a lot of these other things and get some rehabilitation, but they won't become one unless they know Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pray, and if you by chance have something in your life that God says, look, to you today, I still got this area I'm struggling in, God. I'm still fighting to become perfect one. I'm still struggling because I don't utilize the power. I'm still struggling because I don't want to become unpopular. I'm still struggling because I've got some stuff hanging in my past that I can't let go yet. I'm still struggling to become that one. I want to pray for you today before I take my seat. And all you got to do is you lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I don't need to know what it is. You and God know what it is. But before I close out, I do want to pray. Anybody have a special need, just lift your hand. Amen. I see you, brother. Amen. One of the first things to do is I got to acknowledge what I have in my life. David didn't try to hide his sin. He didn't conceal it in his heart. He didn't try to hide his hard feelings. He didn't hide his all of his faults. I see you. He didn't hide it. He didn't hide it. We all got some stuff, I know. But some of us have moved further than others. I see you and I see you. And I thank God that he sees you and that he hears. Amen, brother. I see you there right next to the sound man. Amen. I see you, sister. God bless you. And I, too, have stuff that, God, I want you to continue to work on in me. I want to be demonstrated that oneness. I want to be one that never hinders what God wants his people to get. Amen. God bless you. We pray now, Father, that you have, Lord, heard the hearts and the cries of your people. Lord, you knew before we came here today exactly where we'd be. You're doing a great work in Redeemer. I thank God for Pastor Mark and for what you're doing, for his vision, oh Father. And I thank you, God, for how you're moving in the life. My wife has come, and Lord God, just found so many wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great joy. What a great testimony. And Lord, we thank you that the world will be able to look at us and see that we're different men, that we're different women, that we're different boys, that we're different girls. When others do what's popular, we do what's unpopular because it's right. When others go left, we go right because it's right. God, strengthen everyone now under the sound of my voice, those that have special needs, those that have, Lord, special gifts, those that have special requests. Thank you, Father, that you know what they are. And even, Lord, that act of faith of lifting the hand, God says that, God, I heard you today. Now, God, we pray that something has been said, something has been shared that will make us, Lord God, better when we leave this place. That will make us, God, those that will bring glory to your name wherever we go and all we do. And Father, we know that this is not about us, but it's all about you, Father. And so we thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing today, for what you're going to do. We anticipate, we believe by faith that you've heard and that you've answered, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.